Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following podcast is not affiliated with the developers who have created the games being reviewed. The reviews are solely the opinions of the hosts to be used to make an educated decision on what games to download and play.
Hello gamers and welcome to Budget Arcade, the number one free-to-play and indie gaming podcast in the world. I'm Scott.
I'm Elliot, and we're going to need a witty name if we're going to do this properly. We can't just go with regular old Budget Arcade. It's like an
After Dark
or, you know,
After Dark.
Yeah.
Budget Arcade, After Dark.
After Dark, you know.
Oh, After Dark, because we don't have Sugar Mark and what was
Dirty
Jeff's?
Dirty Jeff, or I don't know.
Dirty Diaper. Jeff, that's it.
I think it's Diaper Jeff, if I'm not mistaken, right? Diaper Jeff?
Yeah, it probably is Diaper Jeff.
Yeah, Diaper Jeff.
All right, so Elliot is coming with me for these off-week episodes now while we do some indie games through Game Pass. Elliot, what was this week's game that we were diving into?
We dove into Loot River, which is a action roguelike isometric Tetris wannabe kind of procedurally generated thing. It's made by Straka Studio, which I think this is their first game, if I'm not mistaken. And it came out on the 3rd of May, 2022, if you're listening in the future, where I'm probably dead, let's be honest. And it's for, I think it's for Xbox. Well, it is for Xbox. It's on Game Pass. I played it on PC because not to brag, not to be that guy, but I got it a couple weeks ago. I've had it for a while, so.
Yeah, you actually did a review on this with Gaming Nexus, correct?
Yeah. So if you want to read my thoughts that I actually took the time to prepare, you can see gamingnexus.com to check that out.
I'll link it in the show notes, too.
There you go. Even better. So,
be sure to send
thoughts.
That to me at the end.
Yeah. As long as you send it to me. So yeah.
Well, you probably have the direct link, so.
I do.
Exactly.
So for me, and I don't know how what you saw about this, but I kind of followed this game for a little bit before it was released. So this is one of those games for me, when I look at games to review, sometimes it's just like, hey, here's this game. Does anyone want it? And sometimes I'm like, hey, I want to play this game. Can you please see if we can get a key for it? Right?
I've witnessed that before.
Yeah, it's kind of the two ways that things work. At Gaming Nexus, at least. And so this was a game that I actually was kind of interested in. I caught a trailer for it, I don't know, a couple months back.
I didn't hear anything about this until you had asked about it in the Discord with the rest of the team.
Okay. So in in the trailer, they talk about how it's very Tetris related. And that instantly got me a little excited because I love Tetris kind of stuff. I don't know how you feel about those kinds of Tetris, Sudoku, crossword puzzles, Picross, like all those kinds of games. I just like Wordle. I do Wordle every morning when I wake up.
Like, I'm a Tetris master.
So, well, okay. So, like, for me, the Tetris aspect really interested me initially, and that's what really kind of drew me to it, because I love Tetris. I love that thought of when you play a lot of Tetris, you know how you start to see the blocks and the shapes, like,
yes,
in the sky or in the
carpet. You get into
or,
the flow of it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I get that way with Picross. I get that way with crossword puzzles, like cryptic clues, that kind of thing. I get really into that. And so when they said this is like Tetris, I was like instantly drawn to it. But that was a lie.
Without a doubt.
They lied to me. 100%.
No, you're not wrong.
Lie, which was very upsetting, actually. Because anything Tetris is great, and this is not Tetris at all.
No, right? the only like correlation to Tetris is the shapes of the platforms that you walk on.
Yeah, and that you can move them up and down and left and right, but you can't twist them in any capacity.
Nope.
It's
even if you like, if you get a line of them, they don't break apart or anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I one of the things, and I even talk about in the review, but one of the things that we really try to do at Gaming Nexus, at least, is we really try to not compare things to things, right? Hey, this is this and that combined equals this game. That's really not what you're trying to do when you're reviewing, right? Because it's like a poor man's review, right?
To
compare these
it's okay to like, you know, make correlations to it, but like to compare them and be like, yeah, this is if this one and this one had a baby, it would be this.
Yes, that is something we specifically try to avoid at Gaming Nexus, at least. But when you're gonna make a trailer that says, "Hey, this is Tetris and Dark Souls," this is that game. You can't go off and do that unless it is that.
No, yeah.
And that was what really upset me, was they definitely did not do that. They said this is what it is, and then when you have your product, it's not that at all. It is very Dark Souls-ass. It was very Souls-like.
No, that's true, it is. Especially with the combat and everything.
Yeah, and it's very roguelike, because there's a lot of like permadeath and finding random weapons that you don't really know what they can do at times, and there's a lot of that.
Yes, and then there's, like, if you do die, you've got where the level completely resets on you.
Right, so there's a lot of that kind of stuff. If they had compared it to the correct things, I probably wouldn't have been like, oh, okay. Because I do think this is a good game. I don't think this is a bad game. What was your... Well, give me your initial thoughts. What were your kind of initial thoughts when you first booted this bad boy up?
So I knew it was a roguelike, and it's a kind of like a top-down view.
Yeah.
And so you walk around, so you've got your attack, and then you've got your powered-up attack, you've got your roll, you've got your parry. There's like different, like your potions are set up on... So, okay, here's the thing, too. And I don't know if this... I didn't really dive into it enough to see if I could change it, but the controller scheme, the default controller scheme on Xbox, is balls.
Oh, really? See, I think
was straight balls, because the light attack is your right top bumper.
Uh-huh.
Your powered up attack is your right trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Your dodge roll is like your B, or no, your A, sorry, and then your parry was your B, and then I forget what they put on the X and the Y buttons, but it was just like, it felt so cumbersome to attack, and I probably should have like delved into the controller scheme to see if there was a way to change it, but I didn't. Like, I was just trying to put time into the game to see how it played. And it made it so frustratingly hard to play the game because of the way the controllers were set up.
All right, I had the exact opposite effect. I actually thought the control scheme here was kind of brilliant. Your left thumbstick controls your character, your movement. Your yes. right thumbstick controls the platforms that you're on.
Correct.
And so I kind of thought putting your attack buttons on triggers was really smart because you don't want to have to move your thumb from the thumbstick to the buttons, you know, and miss out on attacks. So I kind of thought it was kind of ingenious and a little bit unique. So I had the exact opposite effect.
I think if the regular attack was on the trigger instead of the bumper, it might have been okay. But I'm trying to hit the bumper to do the quicker attacks, and it just didn't feel right. Granted, when I play first-person shooters, I do switch them up to though that my attack is on that. But it just, I don't know, it didn't feel right when I'm playing this game because it's kind of like a Dark Souls-esque game, like because of the fact that you have to time your dodges, you have to time your parries to be able to counter your opponents. And that was another thing, too, that the fact that it is overhead view, and I'll be honest, the sprites on this are kind of small for what you're looking at, in my opinion. And
yeah,
so
I agree. But I actually, for me, I thought the pixel art was really, I liked it a lot because it kind of, it's not poorly done, and that's not the right word, but it's not poorly done. It looks poorly done, like on purpose, like as an artistic style, where it kind of does a good job of like being like, hey, you need to keep moving. And as you move, it kind of like pixelates itself a little bit more. So I actually really liked the art style. But I do get what you're saying with the top-down view. The isometric view does kind of make it a little more difficult and a bit annoying.
Yes. And also, so your opponents have like hitboxes where you cannot like dodge roll through them.
Yes.
You have to dodge roll around them. And the way the platforms half the time are too small to even do that. So I was getting caught on enemies trying to escape their attacks and getting hit with it. So that made it like even more difficult too.
Okay. I liked the art. Like I said, I liked the monsters as well. I thought they all looked pretty cool and unique looking.
Oh no, they look really cool. Like the first boss is like got this huge sword.
Yeah.
And he's like jumping from platform to platform and you're trying to get away from him. And he's like just following you at like relentlessly. And I mean, that was really cool and all. And then did you end up getting his sword?
Yes.
Yeah. And that thing was slow as hell to attack
very
with.
Slow. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it was pretty powerful.
It was. Another thing I really enjoyed that I don't usually notice in games is like the music. I thought the music to this game was phenomenal. I thought it picked up at the right tempos, at the right places. The boss fight musics were really like well done. I thought they caught my attention, which is something that no one really, I don't see or notice.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. The music was very good. And then there's like there's a skill tree too, and I don't know if I wasn't getting the proper items to level the tree, but it was like I could never level anything up.
Yeah, I my problem with the skill tree is kind of the problem I have with the game in general, is that like too much is thrown at you at once. Like I said, the enemies look cool and they're unique and they all have different things to do, but then like you're bombarded with like mountains of them. And taking a handful of them at a time is fine, but like the game gets difficult quick, and it's not difficult because the mobs that you're fighting are hard. It's that there's so many freaking mobs that
and they're overwhelming,
next to impossible. That where so like the difficulty factor for me was in the fact that they just were like, here's like 40 mobs, try not to die, you idiot. And that's where you really have to start getting good at like the drafting, going from platform to platform and stuff like that. But that, for me, took away from my experience because I'm like, oh, you're not making this harder, like, in a cool way. You're making this harder in a, like, dumb kind of way. Where I thought the skill ceiling went high quick.
Yeah, let's see if we can set this tone a little bit better. Because, so, you are fighting in, like, almost like sewers, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, basically. You're kind of working your way up levels of what seem like sewers.
Rivers. Yeah, and there's water all over the place, and then there's these platforms that are like they say, shaped like Tetris pieces, and as long as the piece is not hindered by another piece, like blocked off, you can move it whatever direction through the water, almost like a boat. And so you move your pieces while you're standing on them to transverse through the area to get to other like stationary blocks that are like connected. And then a lot of times there's enemies on those blocks. And like Elliot was saying, you know, you want to try to, sometimes there's so many mobs that you want to like touch your block to another one, let a mob jump on the block and then push it back away. So it's just you and the one enemy there. So you can kill them, you know, pick them off one at a time.
Yeah, a lot of kiting. I did a lot of kiting of mobs where I would
float
around blocks and slowly whittle away. Which is probably not the right way to do this, because again, you get bonuses too for completing levels faster, or within a certain amount of time, you get certain boons.
Yes.
So time,
and you
is
get. I think there was also a combo mechanic as well.
Yeah, there was.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Like, I never got good enough to be able to figure those two things out, but yeah.
It's just a lot. It's a lot. And again, like you were saying with the skill trees, you never play far enough in to, like, build, to have a build that you enjoy or like. You kind of are always, I always chose, like, strength or health for the most part, because I found so few magic weapons that did, like, actual magic damage that I never, like, bothered leveling up those kinds of stats, because they just never, like, worked out for me. Or I would get one after building, like, towards, like, different ways of playing that, like, it made it useless.
Yeah, there was the stats, too. I forgot about that. Now, so I beat the first level, and then I got to this, almost like a sanctuary, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then, so I went up onto the next river, beat the next river, and then came back to the sanctuary. I think I beat another boss, and then came back to the sanctuary. And then there was an elevator to the left that you could take the elevator up to, like, another sanctuary, was it?
Yeah, you unlock more things as you kind of play, right? You get more choices, and you can do more things like that. Look,
yeah.
I also did not get very far in this game, because it has a difficulty bar that is very high. I did not beat this game.
Yeah. Oh, I honestly got killed so many times. It was very frustrating. Like,
yes.
You know,
because
when we did,
you don't realize what's killing you, or you're like, oh, I just died because there was 50 mobs on me. There was no way I was going to beat that. There's no learning from this.
Yes. And it, like, you know, like when we played Vagante was hard, but I could figure out how to play to avoid certain enemies,
right,
and to, like, kill enemies in a certain way so that I could progress. This, I didn't feel any progression on at all.
No,
like,
no,
I
there's
felt,
none. You're right.
And I felt so frustrated most of the time that I was playing this, because, like I said, I go to dodge roll, and I get hung up on the enemy, and I can't get past them.
Yeah.
And I can't roll away from them either, because I'm getting hit by them at the same time. And then, of course, combine that with where the attack buttons are situated, and it made for a frustrating game for me.
Yeah, games like Hades, games like Children of Morta, are games of this genre that I really dig.
Yeah, Hades definitely plays better than this.
and what I liked about those was, like, when I died, I knew what killed me, and I knew how I could be better at it, right? I knew how to improve, and in this, there's no, like, here's what you're doing wrong, here's how you can be better at it. It's just like, you suck, do better next time, idiot.
Yeah,
and that's,
no,
and that's
definitely
frustrating, right? Because you're just like, well, it doesn't make me want to play. It doesn't make me want to keep coming back, because this is a game that's designed to get me to, like, this is one of those games that's supposed to be super replayable, right? The whole game is a replayable game of just doing it again and again and again.
Well, any roguelike is supposed to be like that. Right. That's the whole draw, the draw of the games to make you want to play, is because every experience is going to be different. But the experience was always the same for me, and it pissed me off.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I was totally the same way with that, too. Where it's just kind of like, okay. I would die and be like, I'm not going to play again. I'm just going to go do something else. You know, instead of wanting to try one more time. Like I said, with Hades or Children of Morta, I'm always like, okay, one more run. I'll do a different character this time. Or I'll do a different build or whatever. And there was none of that with this. I'm just like, okay, it's fine.
Yeah, I 100% agree on that. I felt bad that you had to write up a review on this because of how frustrating it was for me.
Yeah, there's been a couple of games that I've had where, like, there's just, I didn't beat them, like Loot River I did not beat, or games like Rune Factory, where it's like a simulator and a farming sim at that, where, like, realistically there's no, like, there's an ending, but, like, it can be played forever.
There's not.
Yeah. So that's the problem with games like that, where you're like, yeah, like, when is enough enough? When have I played this enough to give this, like, a fair shake that I can write about it? And with this, I put in, I think I had like 9 hours before I started writing, something like that. Where I guess some people were beating the game in like 7 hours. So I was like, okay, I put in enough time that I could have beaten this game if I was good at the game. I'm just not.
Yeah. So. No, 100%. I understand that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really what it is.
Well, it's funny to me too that you put in 9 hours and you did not unlock any really of the skill trees at all.
Well,
like, and that was the other thing too, is like you had to have a specific weapon to unlock different parts of it too.
There's a lot of that to it. Yeah. This is a very freshman outing of a game. Where I think they have a lot of really good pieces. It's a unique take on something. And, like, their next game, like, Loot River 2, Loot Harder on that river, you know, will be, like, a lot better, a lot more polished in the places that are unpolished now. Because there's a lot of polish to this game. I think there's a lot of polish to this game.
But there's, like, also a lot of rough edges, too, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of rough edges, too. Yeah, I completely agree. A lot of rough edges.
Now, would it get your seal, Elliot?
So I gave it an 8 out of 10, which means I gave it a good game. And I think it is a good game. I can see why some people get frustrated super easily like I did. But I think there's a lot to enjoy. I think if I was able to beat this game, I would find it so satisfying once it was actually like done, once I actually beat it. So I'm going to give it my seal. It's not for me, but it might be for somebody like Jeff, who's into being hurt.
I don't know if Jeff would like this, to be honest. I don't, I know he, you know, we all know he loves roguelikes.
Yeah, and he's a masochist.
But he doesn't like punishing roguelikes to the point where you cannot progress. And I don't think he would go for this, to be honest.
Yeah, he might not. So, but I mean, out of the four of us, he is definitely the closest that this is aimed for. For sure.
No, this is the very true.
Like, not up Mark's alley at all. Like, don't even.
No. Mark, well, no, this is way too Souls-like for Mark.
Yeah, this is way too much for Mark's small, small, childlike brain. He's not listening. You didn't make it this far. You didn't make it this far, Mark, did you? It's fine.
Yeah, Mark doesn't listen.
That's
it's
right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't listen to the ones I'm on either, Mark, so.
Well, so, I mean, it seems like a pretty good game. And I mean, it is on Game Pass, so.
Yeah, so here's what we should really do. Is it worth checking out on Game Pass? Is it worth the time to download? I think it's worth the time to download and check it out.
It is definitely worth the time to download and check out if you have Game Pass.
Yeah.
But be prepared to be frustrated. Yeah, I would not pay for this.
Yeah, I think it's a $20 game. I think that's what.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no. I
don't think it's worth $20. Ugh. It's on sale for 10% off right now. $22.49. It's regularly $24.99. So,
wow. Okay. Yeah.
It's brand new. It is brand new, right? That's kind of part of it too. Is it is a brand new game?
Yeah, that's so true. And it's their what you said their first IP.
I think it is their first game, from what I can tell.
I think if they were to like make like an easy mode for it or something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
I might go back to it. It's just it's very frustrating.
I think so too.
So it I'm not gonna be playing it again. I'll be deleting it here after we finish recording, but it was interesting to play it for sure.
Yeah.
And the whole sliding, I really did like the sliding of your platforms that you had to transverse with, you know, it's like your boats basically.
I just wanted it to be more Tetris like. I wanted the puzzle part be like more challenging. I didn't find the puzzle part of this game to be very challenging or super rewarding at all.
There was a puzzle part?
Well, like moving around the platforms to get around things or to climb up and then down.
Yeah.
Like that's what they considered puzzling. You know, their puzzle part. So
So you have to move pieces a certain way so that you can actually get through. That makes sense, but definitely not a Tetris style.
No, not at all.
No, and if anything, it was more of a like, I would say like a maze type of thing that you had to like.
Yeah, much more maze like. Yeah,
because there was like stairs and stuff like that on the rivers where you had
adding
to
levels to the platform was a good touch. But that
was a good touch, and that was actually satisfying in that part. But yeah, the rest of the gameplay it did not hit it for me.
Yeah, I get you.
So yeah, I'm not going to be playing again. But yeah, it's definitely worth checking out on Game Pass.
Cool.
But so this is an off week episode, so we are going to be back next week with the game that we are reviewing for the week, and that is another roguelike. And that is Rogue Legacy 2, which have you played any of that yet, Elliot?
I have played some of it, yeah.
That game is fun. But I won't tip my hand too much. Right? Yeah. No, it's pretty fun, though.
Yeah, it's good. It's an improvement on the first one, which I really enjoyed the first one quite a lot, actually. So.
Yeah, I never got to play the first one, but if it's this good, then yeah, I probably would go back and play that one.
I picked it up. I picked the first one up on sale on the Switch for like $2 at one point. It was super cheap. So it's definitely worth catching Rogue Legacy 1 when it's on sale. It's definitely worth a sale price.
Yeah, and so the next game that Elliot and I are going to be playing on our off-week episode is another Game Pass game. And it is Hollow Knight, which, Elliot, you said you've never played before.
I've never played Hollow Knight. It's just one of those games that's gotten away from me where I'm always like, yeah, I'll get to it. And my problem with Game Pass, which I think is the best deal in gaming, like hands down.
Without a doubt.
And I own an Xbox and a PlayStation 5 and a PC. I own all of them. And a Switch. Cause
do you do any of the PC gaming on Xbox Game Pass?
I do occasionally. So it just kind of depends. But again, my problem, like I was saying with Game Pass is like, it's on Game Pass. I'll get to it at some point. And I never,
until they take it off.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, it's on Game Pass. I'll get to it at some point. And then I don't because something else comes up or I'm just so busy with all these things that I do, you know, it's just one of those things. So Hollow Knight's one of those games I've always wanted to try, but I never have. So,
well, I look forward to hearing what you think about it on the next episode that we do.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to be playing that one. So,
all right. So you want to let everybody know where they can reach you?
Yeah, you can find my other podcast I do with my wife Tessa, Tessa and Elliot Argue, wherever you find podcasts. I'm on Twitter at Elliot_argues. I write for GamingNexus.com. I write for AppTrigger.com as well. I just did a review for the Nintendo Switch sports game over there, which was pretty decent for the most part. So that's basically where I'm at for the most part. And I'm occasionally on here bothering the three of you.
Yeah. How's the new podcast going?
It's maybe a thing. Who knows?
Maybe a thing? Has it fallen off already?
Yeah, it's hard when you don't have people that are like super. The problem with it is I'm like, let's do this podcast. And so they do, and they're really into it for a week or two. And then it's like, oh, I got this, or oh, I got that, or oh, it's Mother's Day. I can't do anything. I got to go do stuff with my mom. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
For shame, yeah. Chris.
No, it's
shame
it's,
on you.
It's Brody. His yeah. Like, oh, your mom's oh, dead. Oh, Brody. So like yeah. Years. Who cares?
Brody doesn't listen to this though, kidding. So I don't
She's
care.
Dead. But yeah. So yeah, as, yeah. Hanging out, gaming. It comes out occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. As it comes out about as often as my other podcast.
No, it's every other. We've been out every other week at least since we've been out. So it's every other week at least, but.
Okay.
We'll see. Is yeah. it worth checking out? Yeah, it's hilarious. It's very good. But yeah, it doesn't come out very often because, you know.
Well, if you want to get at us, you can catch us on any of our social medias. It's Budget Arcaded. You can catch us on TikTok as well as Twitch at Budget Arcade Podcast. If you want to help support the show, you can do so at our Patreon, patreon.com/budgetarcade. You will gain access to our exclusive Patreon channel in our Discord. If you want to join our Discord, you can do so through the show notes or on any of our social medias. Our music is provided by Stimage, and you can download his music at metroidmetal.com and game on.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.